button collecting isn't exactly a hot-button issue. Rather, it's a popular pastime that combines art, history, and fashion. So long as humans have needed to keep clothing fastened, we've counted on buttons to do the job. Almost anything you can think of has ended up on a button. These handy little items not only make our days easier, they attract us with their beauty. You can get a close-up look at some unique and rare buttons this weekend at the annual convention in Bloomington of the Illinois State Button Society. Collectors from across the state are gathering to share, to sell, and to educate about buttons. Brenda Eilbrocht has a teaching degree in home economics. She began collecting buttons about a dozen years ago because, to her, they're little works of art.
There are so many different fascinating materials, and there are pictures on them, and there's so much history tied up in so many of them. It just really appealed to me as a home economics major with a fashion background. And so it just that was the allure for me. How were these buttons used, and what kind of garments were they put on? So that's what attracted me to it.
So when you find a button and you buy that, are you able to actually research that button to see if it maybe has an interesting history, that it might have been, say, something that was once belonged to Kit Carson or Elvis Presley, or was once used on a wedding dress?
Many times when we're out in antique stores, we'll come across something that card of buttons that says, was used on Grandma So-and-So's dress in 1854. And then we also have a reference book. It's called The Big Book of Buttons. It's a two-volume research with all the different types of materials, all the different subjects. There are fables and people and animals. Almost anything you can think of in history, you will find a button. There are Napoleon buttons and George Washington's inaugural uniform buttons that are available. They have a GW on them. And so that helps us do the research and find out just what significance there might be to a button.
You know, buttons are, they can be very beautiful, of course, but they are utilitarian and such. It's amazing to me that a button that was once on a piece of clothing that Napoleon once wore is still with us today, that somebody would have the presence of mind to say that.
It's part of history, and I think that's why that some of those things are still available today. My sister and I are the editors of, we put out three times a year a bulletin for the State of Illinois members, and in their last issue, I put a picture of a husband and wife, one of those formal pictures from the 1800s, and I found the button that was on her dress. And so we're always coming up with these pictures, and people save things. My grandmother saved her buttons. My mother saved her buttons. And so I think almost anyone that you talk to, grandma had a button box. So that's why they're still preserved and saved to this day.
It's funny. I actually have a button I need to sew on my best winter coat, actually sitting on a rocking chair in my living room. And just as you were talking about that, I thought about the little basket of buttons that I have in a drawer. And, you know, they've popped off of whatever, but I don't get rid of them. I just put them away and hang on to them because I'm like, it's a button. I don't want to throw a button away.
Absolutely. You never know when you might need it. And we find all kinds of things in button boxes that people would want to save, packs and just everything that you can imagine people would save. And my grandmother and my mother grew up during the Depression, so yes, they saved things. And they would change, they could go down to the dime store, they could buy a card of buttons for 5 cents and totally change the look of a dress that they might have had for 3 years, but they want to spruce it up, so they would have these cards that they would just go buy and try to transform what they had into something new and fresh.
Brenda, do buttons change a lot over the years? Do we see a certain fashion of a certain style of button going over the years?
Yes, Definitely. Back in the early days of plastic, there were lots of chunky, what we call chunky Bakelite buttons. It was an early plastic. And now everything is pretty much, well, you might find horn, you find coconut shell. And if you go into a fabric store, you would find newer, more modern materials, simpler buttons. But back in the early 1800s and early 1900s, they had picture buttons that they would produce. Maybe it had Little Red Riding Hood on it, the story, or the fable of the fox and the crane. And so all of those types of buttons are still around, depending on how well they were made. The beautiful buttons made out of enamel, some of the metal picture buttons, and some of the Victorian glass buttons are just absolutely fabulous. And you just have to see them all together to understand their beauty.
Well, how valuable can buttons be, Brenda? I mean, how much would one expect to pay for a really rare button?
A really rare button could cost as much as $3,000. That was a couple of years ago. I saw it's made out of horn, like the cow's horn. They warm it up and then they melt it down so that it's moldable, put it in a mold, and it's called Mice at Council, and it shows a cat up in the tree and the mice around a bird cage or a bird bath trying to decide who's going to put the bell on the cat so that they know he's coming. And so that's an old fable, and that button I saw sell for $2,800 at an auction that I was at, a button auction. We have what we call poke boxes, and you can go through.
Just poke through them.
You just poke, that's right, you just poke through them until you find something you like, and those can be anywhere from, 10 cents to $5, depending on the dealer, the type of material. So, like, we have a little one that we have for, like, kids that they can poke around in, and they can, for 50 cents, they can buy a button.
At the convention this weekend in Bloomington Normal, tell me about the people that are going to be at the button convention. What sort of person can we expect to find there?
Very nice people.
Button people are nice people.
Button people are very nice people. We're very willing to answer questions. We can always tell when somebody has never been to a button convention or a button show before, and they walk in and they just have this deer in the headlights look.
Because there's so much there, huh?
Because there is so much there. And we have dealers coming from 7 states.
Wow.
To set up and sell buttons at the show. We have a total of 12 dealers. There's a lot of variety. I haven't counted, but I'd say I have somewhere in the neighborhood of 14,000 buttons in my own collection. And then I have all of my inventory that we sell. It's pretty daunting when I look around and see what my house has turned into. It's quite a collection. But there are no button manufacturers in the United States anymore.
Oh, why not?
And I think it just got too costly to run the production of in the factories. But they're still making buttons in the Czech Republic from old molds that they found from, the 20s and 30s. And so we do import a lot of Czech glass buttons. I do anyway. And so you're going to find buttons of every age, every color, every style, every material, any material you can think of, even peach pits. People make buttons out of peach pits. So we're going to have an educational display set up with different types of materials and different collections. People in this educational display, they'll see buttons that are on the original card from the manufacturer, salesman sample card.
Okay, Brenda, tell me, what is the most unusual button that you have ever come across?
The most unusual, it was a button made out of walrus tusk. It was carved by the Eskimos. It had 2 sea lions on it, and the sea lions, they had embedded copper for the eyes, nose, and mouth, and it's what we call a whistle button. It has two holes on the bottom and only one hole on the top. And like I said, it was about an inch and a half tall. And it, like I said, it was carved by the Eskimos. That's probably the most unusual one I have ever owned or seen. And then I turned around and sold it because I didn't know any better when I was young. When I was
Are you kicking yourself ever since?
Yeah, I am.
That's button collector Brenda Eilbrocht, who will be at the Illinois State Button Society Annual Convention today through Saturday at the Holiday Inn Hotel and Suites near the Bloomington Airport. I'm Laura Kennedy.